Bucky Bacall with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. As my regular listeners probably know by now, I moved from Boise, Idaho, back to my home state of New York, and now live in New York City in the borough of Queens. Since the original Bacall flock was already accustomed to the Idaho climate, I arranged for Neem, Quincy, and Quinoa to remain in the competent care of my good friend Kevin. Kevin also took me under his wing for a few months before I left for good, so I did my best to share my chickening knowledge with him. Kevin was a highly motivated learner because he had already seen from my former home how chickens in a city backyard will eat pests and weeds right out of your property, tilling as they go and leaving behind nutrient-rich fertilizer. He saw how my hen-tilled and poop-enhanced compost pile rapidly transformed kitchen scraps to humus for my supercharged vegetable garden. I had already shared backyard eggs with him, so he knew how superior they were in taste and nutrition to factory farm grocery store eggs. In no time, Kevin was a backyard chickening expert in his own right, and nowadays he spreads the Bacall agenda to his immediate neighbors and others in Boise, who are starting to understand the wisdom of transitioning to a model of agriculture that is decentralized, localized, humane, non-polluting, sustainable, and fun. But no contemporary North American garden is all Eden. And last week, 20 months after I left Boise, I got this call from Kevin. "Hey Bucky, I could use your advice with one of the original Bacall flock. I got home today and Neem is acting weird. She walks slowly, is lethargic, and doesn't try to get away from me at all when I go to pick her up. She pecks at the ground a bit, but is not interested in food at the feeder. She doesn't try to peck Quincy, and Quinoa easily pecks her once in a while. She isn't bleeding, does not have any visible wounds, and has all of her plumage. I think she must have some kind of sickness, but what? Any ideas?"
I did have advice for Kevin. The first thing I told him to do was to isolate Neem from the other chickens, who might harass her and in case she was infectious. I told him to keep her somewhere safe and secure and comfortable, such as a comfy room or cage in the house with a soft nest built in, and away from where his cats might want to stare at her. He already said there were no visible wounds, but I reminded him to make sure her crop wasn't unusually large or hard, which would mean she had food stuck there, and to check her cloaca to make sure she wasn't having trouble pushing out an egg. In the best cases, an impacted crop can be cleared with a few drops of mineral oil and some gentle manipulation, and an egg can also be manually cleared. But those are both situations I've only heard about. In 4 years of living with chickens, I never dealt with chicken sickness. Furthermore, in 3 years of talking to other chickeners, I hadn't heard much either. Not too long ago, I was at a chicken tractor building workshop, and one of the participants asked about sick chickens. The host, from Just Food, a New York group who has helped set up and care for several city flocks, hadn't had much experience with sick chickens either. The truth is, the domesticated chicken is a tough old bird, and small flocks don't get sick much. Factory farming breeds and practices are an entirely different matter. But statistically, small flock backyard chickeners will never gain as much experience with illness as they will with predators and escape artists, veggie eaters, and other misbehaviors. And mostly, their experience will be with egg-eating, vegetable harvesting, and general fun-having. I once interviewed one of Kevin's neighbors, Jonna Moore, for a broadcast, and she had cared for a chicken with a respiratory problem. She knows the name of a pet bird vet who applied his knowledge to her chicken. I suggested Kevin ask her about that vet. However, because commercial chickeners, homesteaders, and most hobby farmers are more likely to cull a chicken than to give it medical care many people give to indoor pet critters, it's nearly impossible to find a chicken vet. I also recommended he do an internet search for chicken health and pick the website that works best for him. Or he could see how quickly he could get a chicken health handbook from the library or bookstore. Ideally, anyone who starts out chickening should be at least somewhat prepared for the pretty much inevitable day when one of their flock gets sick. Chickeners should already have websites bookmarked, chicken books on the shelf, and the number of a more experienced chickener, or a vet, on speed dial. The important thing is not to panic. Take the time to analyze the situation and use your best chicken sense, and definitely not to waste energy on the front end imagining worst-case disease scenarios. There are too many things that could go wrong for me to list all of them on this show. and there is at least one show's worth of debate about the possible solutions for each. You can get guidance on how to solve those problems, but in the end, you'll be taking the ultimate responsibility. But there's a good chance it won't be so heavy. Here's what I heard from Kevin the very next day. "Not to worry now, she came right out of it. I went out to close up the coop, and she ran out to kvetches me as if nothing was wrong at all. The next morning, she was normal, and still the same old Neem right now. I guess it was just a case of spring fever, because the next day I heard from Kevin again, who told me, 'I just checked on them all, and she is running around hunting like mad. The temperature is nice for them, and they are still digging for bugs. She is still laying eggs, too.' Although we chickeners won't always get this kind of happy ending, you often will, which just goes to show how robust chickens are and how a competent chickener should not need to be overly concerned about illness. Here's to you and your flock's health. This has been Bucky Bacaw. I had a good time." Bucky Bacaw's Backyard Chicken Broadcast was produced by the Sagebrush Variety Show with support from Boise Community Radio and the Green Institute.